Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you on this Friday, July 29th, as we welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Laura Bryan. And after Laura reads, she and I will sit down and have some time to talk about things of life and faith. Thank you, Laura, for joining the podcast.
Thank you for having me. Our first reading is Deuteronomy 17, 1 through 13. Never sacrifice a sick or defective ox or sheep to the Lord your God, for he detests such gifts. Suppose a man or woman among you in one of your towns that the Lord your God is giving you has done evil in the sight of the Lord your God and has violated the covenant by serving other gods or by worshiping the sun, the moon, or any of the forces of heaven, which I have strictly forbidden. When you hear about it, investigate the matter thoroughly. If it is true that this detestable thing has been done in Israel, then that man or woman must be taken to the gates of the town and stoned to death. But never put a person to death on the testimony of only one witness. There must always be at least two or three witnesses. The witnesses must throw the first stone, and then all of the people will join in. In this way, you will purge all evil from among you. Suppose a case arises in a local court that is too hard for you to decide, for instance, whether someone is guilty of murder, or only of manslaughter, or a difficult lawsuit, or a case involving different kinds of assault. Take such cases to the place the Lord your God will choose, where the Levitical priest and the judge on duty will hear the case and decide what to do. The decision they make at the place the Lord chooses will always stand. You must do exactly what they say. After they have interpreted the law and reached a verdict, the sentence they impose must be fully executed. Do not modify it in any way. Anyone arrogant enough to reject the verdict of the judge or of the priest who represents the Lord your God, must be put to death. Such evil must be purged from Israel. Then everyone will hear about it and be afraid to act so arrogantly. The next reading is Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better to me than life itself. How I praise you! I will honor you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest of foods. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. I think how much you have helped me. I sing for joy in the shadow of your protecting wings. I follow close behind you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. But those plotting to destroy me will come to ruin. They will go down into the depths of the earth. They will die by the sword and become the food of jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who trust in him will praise him, while liars will be silenced. Our final reading is 1 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 12. You yourselves know, dear brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not a failure. You know how badly we had been treated in Philippi just before we came to you and how much we suffered there. Yet our God gave us the courage to declare his good news to you boldly, even though we were surrounded by many who opposed us. So you can see that we were not preaching with any deceit or impure purposes or trickery. For we speak as messengers who have been approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He is the one who examines the motives of our hearts. Never once did we try to win you with flattery, as you well know. And God is our witness that we were not just pretending to be your friends so you would give us money. As for praise, we have never asked for it from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we certainly had a right to make some demands of you, but we were as gentle among you as a mother, feeding, and caring for her children. We loved you so much that we gave you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. Don't you remember, dear brothers and sisters, how hard we worked among you? Night and day we toiled to earn a living so that our expenses would not be a burden to anyone there as we preached God's good news among you. You yourselves are our witnesses, and so is God, that we were pure and honest and faultless toward all of you believers. And you know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. We pleaded with you, encouraged you, and urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy. For he called you into his kingdom to share his glory.
Thank you so much, Laura, for joining the podcast today. We're so grateful for your ministry at Mount Brook Baptist and your friendship. And I just want to know a little bit more about you. So tell me a little bit about yourself.
Thank you, Mary. My name, as Mary said, is Laura Bryan. My husband is David Bryan, and he teaches our Sunday school class, sings in the choir, and is deacon chairman this year. We have two sons, Will, who lives in Charlotte, and Terry, who lives in Nashville. Terry is married to Mary Claire, and they are parents to our first grandchild, a daughter named Maggie.
Oh, tell me a little bit more about Maggie.
Oh, Maggie is just precious, and she's just started learning to sit up, and we just think she is the most wonderful thing in the world.
Who does she look like?
Oh, everyone says she looks like Terry.
Oh, well.
In fact, the neighbors call her Little Terry.
Oh, that's so sweet. Well, I want to hear a little bit about your growing up experience. Tell me a little bit about your early life and faith, and then maybe even how you came to Mount Brook Baptist.
I grew up in the Methodist tradition, and we were very, very active at church from the time I was born. And I went through confirmation. My mother actually passed away when I was young, and my father remarried a year later, and it was a very difficult time. And the church played a really large role in my life. I'm very thankful for the relationships there and the time that I had there. I came to Mount Brook Baptist Church. Dave and I have been married 40 years.
Wow.
And before we married, a year or two before, he was working with Rusty Foster, who used to be a member of our church, and Rusty sang in the choir. David was visiting different churches, and Rusty invited him to come sing in the choir at our church, and David has been here ever since, and singing in the choir ever since.
Yes, I love to see him singing. I know that David does serve, but you serve in a lot of positions as well, and I know nobody wants to toot their own horn, but tell us a little bit about different areas that you've served over the years.
Well, through the years, I've served in many different areas. I've worked in Vacation Bible School. I chaperoned youth trips, preteen camps. I traveled to Ecuador with our youth. I sang in the choir many years ago. I taught junior high Sunday school many, many years ago. And I've been involved with outreach, music committee, family life committee, and several other ways.
One of the things that I remember fondly is you going on a youth retreat with us and all the crazy things that the youth and maybe their leaders did that weekend. Do you have any memories from teaching Sunday school or these retreats that would be a funny story?
I'm not sure about a funny story. There were many, many of those funny stories. I think one memorable thing, and David still does this now, when he taught youth, Hoyt Wilson gave him this idea. David had never taught Sunday school. Hoyt asked him to teach an adult class. And when David said, "I am not a teacher," Hoyt said, "Yes, you are." And Hoyt asked him to teach. And one thing Hoyt said is, at the end of every lesson, ask, "So what?" If you cannot answer how it affects your daily life, then it is like a history lesson. So we recently got a letter from someone who had been in our junior high Sunday school, who's now in ministry, who said that he would always remember the "so what," and he uses it in his daily life.
That's so powerful. I'm so grateful that you shared that story. Tell me, do you have a favorite Bible verse?
My favorite Bible verse is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the interesting thing is, the reason that is my favorite Bible verse, when I was in school in Birmingham, in a public school, in elementary school, we had to memorize a scripture and stand before the class and read it in our public school. And my father taught me this first scripture that I knew and said, Laura, always remember this is the most important scripture of all.
Piggybacking on that, I want to hear about a time maybe where God has worked mightily in your life, where you saw his goodness and power on display.
I believe the most vivid memory of this is when we were on a cruise. David, our two boys, and myself were on a cruise for David's birthday. And Will, our oldest, was 9 at the time and was having stomach pains, which we ignored for a bit. And then when we took him to the infirmary, the second time he insisted, we were told that he needed to see a doctor. And the closest port was Antigua. So when we reached Antigua early the next morning, they quickly hurried us off the ship to a doctor's office, which was not at all like a doctor's office we are familiar with. It was in the back of a house. It was not air conditioned. They told us that because he had been started on antibiotics on the ship, there was no way to know, but they thought it was his appendix. And I called people in Birmingham, friends from our church, and asked them to pray. We didn't know what to do. David wanted to bring him back to the States, but I feared that we might wait too long if we did that. And so we really prayed about it and also worried. Mm-hmm. And so then we got off the ship. Will and I went to where they would do the surgery, where it was unair conditioned. The windows were open. And David and our younger son, Terry, were trying to get us through customs. Will had severe asthma as a small child. He did the nebulizing treatments 3 times a day. There was a nurse anesthetist that we saw, and there was not an anesthesiologist. And when I mentioned about his asthma, they really didn't know anything about it. We had an inhaler, but it was on the ship. We did not even have an inhaler with us. When they told us how long the surgery would last, I was alone and I went out in the field, right up, because it wasn't a field, and I stood in the grass that was up to my knees and I was praying. And I was praying, as we often do, for God to guide the surgeon's hand, for him to, you know, bless Will, bless the surgeons, and so forth. This was the first time I had not been able to look for the best doctor or find the best hospital. We were in a situation that we had no control. And when the surgery lasted, it was about an hour longer than it should have. I remember at that point, I truly gave Will up. And I said, thank you for the time that you've given us with him, God. Thank you for the gift of Will. And I really completely turned it over to him, and I felt such peace. As it turned out, the surgery was fine. He did fine, although I believe they said he woke up during his anesthesia. But they put him back under, and the surgery went fine. But I believe that's the only time I could remember prior that I had totally turned things over to God. And as much as I hate to say this, it was because I had no choice. I couldn't take him to the best doctor. We couldn't go to the best hospital. We just had no choices. And ever since that time, I have wanted and prayed for the strength to give completely to God the way I did in that field in Antigua.
As we were reading the psalm earlier, I knew you were going to share this story. And I thought about how today you had the opportunity to share the goodness of the Lord. Laura, will you go back to Psalm 63 and verse 7 and read that verse for us again?
I think how much you have helped me. I sing for joy in the shadow of your protecting wings.
Laura, as I think about raising my children, what was one of the ways that you tried to help your children grow in the knowledge of Christ?
Well, Mary, every morning before they went to school, I put my hand on their shoulders and prayed with them. It was often just a short prayer so that we could hurry to school, but I did pray with them. And then if we were in the car and saw an ambulance or an accident, we always prayed for the people in the accident. If it rained, we thanked God for the rain, even if it was a day that we were going to step out of the car and the, you know, in the puddle with the umbrellas trying to get to school, we would thank God for the rain that watered the flowers, that it gave, you know, animals water in the fields. And I tried to make every moment that we were together just a bit of a thanks to God in ways that we don't notice normally. It came to where it blessed me so much to do that and to recognize things that I might not normally recognize, like being thankful for the rain when it's really a lot of trouble usually, and we complain getting out of the car when it has rained for 7 days straight. But it really helped me to be thankful for whatever we are experiencing every day.
I also wanted to talk to you about the fact that I see you connecting well with people all throughout church. And that is such an important thing for people to feel welcomed and appreciated. And so I wonder, when you come on Sunday morning, what is your perspective? How do you kind of, if you see a visitor, what's going on in your mind?
I try to reach out to visitors and think about how I would feel if I were visiting a church and didn't know anyone there. I think connections are so important. If we only go to worship services, we are missing so much. Growth groups, Sunday school classes, opportunities that our church provides for us to have connections with others, to celebrate good times, to be there in difficult times. I really don't know how people do that without a church family.
And community is so important. And so thank you today for helping us have community, albeit virtually, so that others can get to know you. Okay, a fun little closer. What's your favorite food?
Oh, gosh, I have so many. My favorite food might be lobster.
Ooh, lobster.
It's okay. Been a long time since I've had any.
What's your favorite color?
My favorite color is blue.
What's your favorite sport?
Well, Mary, when our boys were young, it was whatever sport they were playing. I was never a big sports person growing up. Now I would have to say it's football, specifically Auburn football. But really, it's in the middle of October through November. On the other hand, David loves, as soon as the season starts, to drag a tailgate wagon and decorate, and he can't wait. I don't enjoy the heat so much, but I do enjoy Auburn football when it's cooler.
Mm-hmm. While we're on favorites, what's your favorite movie?
I would say Life is Beautiful. It is a foreign language film, and it's about the Holocaust and a man who hid his son in one of the concentration camps. And each day, the man tried to make his son laugh and think it was all part of a game. And it just really touched me that how you present to your children, even in the worst of situations, can make them see life in a much different way.
Laura, thank you for joining the podcast today. Would you end our time together with prayer?
I'd be happy to. Thank you, Mary. Dear Father, thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you for the leaders in our church and for our church community and for the way that our church members reach out to others and love others and see us through difficult times and happy times. Thank you for all the blessings that you bestow upon us, and help us remember every day to be grateful for you. We ask in your name. Amen.